Welcome everybody to tonight's special school board meeting. Reminder that tonight's meeting will remain and only include the topics of the posted agenda. We do have a few presenters that will join us this evening. The community's input is very important to us. We will be available afterwards for questions, comments. If you don't feel comfortable staying afterwards or don't have time, we have placed some note cards over there with a basket. Please feel free to drop your thoughts or comments in there. As I said, it's very important to us. So with that, we will start with second. I'll call the meeting to order, and then we'll start with number two. Mr. Johnson.
Sure. Thank you, Sherry, board members. So presentation of the School Facility Advisory Committee recommendation. So just a quick kind of background before I introduce Josh Lagin. Josh was on the committee, parent and community member who is going to share some information on the recommendation, share a little bit of background as well. And maybe just a quick background in terms of the committee and how it was formed for those that are here. Back in the fall when we were looking at school facility planning and the decision was made to take a deeper dive and to look in, decision was made by you board members to form a facility committee. And so we went about selecting committee members representing community. So we had a cross section of individuals from staff members to parents to community members and cross age demographic populations as well. And so that committee met five times beginning in December. The last meeting that they had was last Thursday, March 20th. That was also the meeting that that committee came up with a recommendation. And so upon that, I reached out to board members to schedule a special school board meeting here tonight. So with that, further ado, I would introduce to you guys Josh Lagin, who has some information, will present the recommendation, also be available for questions. So welcome, Josh.
Thank you. Does everyone have one of these, or do I need to hand these out?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. As Josh said, my name is Josh Lagin, so here to represent the school advisory committee. So I'm going to walk us through really kind of our journey, and then I'll walk through the proposal. So I think it's good, important for the board to understand kind of the places we've been, the things we've looked at, and maybe how we got to this recommendation. So first of all, I just want to start off with a thank you to the board. It's been an honor. I think I can speak from most of the committee members. It's been a fun journey. So appreciate you guys, allowing us to have the opportunity to work on behalf of the school and to really come up with some unique ideas. So first of all, thank you to the school board. I want to recognize the committee by name. I think it's important. All of us have put in some effort. I think we've all enjoyed working together. So just off the top, the 17 committee members are Tara Altringer, Kara Henderson, Annette B., Casey Birchall, Deb Eggert, Phil Hatcher, Jordan Heck, Josh Johnson, Courtney Jorison, Sheila Larson, myself, Matt Marsh, Tyler Marthaler, Ryan Mathias, Annie Ness, Mike Crosby, and Adriana Rivera. So a lot of them are here today to support. So I think I can speak for most of us, and I think we've all enjoyed the process, and I think we've come up with a good recommendation. So before I get started, any questions from board? Okay. So we started this journey in December. We got together at the board and we went to tour the school. So our very first meeting, we went through the schools. I think for me personally, I'm not from Valley. So, I go and see the schools where my kids take me. I don't, travel through much of the school, and I've really never spent a lot of time in high school. So it was eye-opening for me, and I think eye-opening for a lot of others to tour the schools and just see the condition of the schools. I had the opportunity to take a second tour with some of our House and Senate reps about 10 days after the initial visit. And I was surprised to see when I went into the high school, the things that were broken, there are other things that were broken. They were different things. Probably what stands out to me the most is in the basement of the old 1919, there was water standing that wasn't there 2 days or 10 days before that. And so I asked Jordan, I'm like, where did this come from? He goes, we're not really sure, but that to me was eye-opening and just where the state of some of our school facilities was, and wasn't something that I was necessarily aware of before the tour. after that initial tour, really the focus for the committee was, should we explore a renovation or should we look at new? Based off of that, it was pretty much unanimous that our facilities committee didn't think renovation was really feasible. There was just a lot of money that was asking to be spent, and really we weren't going to end up with something that was new and something that we felt kind of aligned with our priorities that we had discussed. So as we look forward in terms of the things we wanted to accomplish, we boiled it down to five main priorities. We wanted to consolidate the number of school buildings in the district, so renovation wasn't going to accomplish that. We wanted to do a phased approach, understanding that we looked at the financials and looking at the taxpayer dollars. We didn't want to say, let's go all in. Is there an opportunity for us to do a little bit now, a little bit later, and take that phased approach to get us to maybe a 30-year vision? Security, secure entrances. So, not many or any of our school facilities have secure entrances. So that was a main priority of ours. We looked hard at the feasibility of adding on to Jefferson. So why Jefferson versus some of the other schools? And a lot of it boiled down to the location of other school facilities like Hannah Field and some of the other facilities that are in that area. We just felt that it was best if it was there versus trying to put places all over the community. And then lastly was just to improve the overall, the last one's improving the overall educational adequacy. So some things we noted on our tours were educational spaces that were just propped up out of previously something else was in there. And so we just felt there was some opportunity for us to take a step back and if we truly needed those spaces, build them into a new school versus trying to renovate. So those are really the five priorities that we focused on as we moved away from the idea of a renovation and moved more into this idea of building new. So when we started out with the concept of building a new school, we started out with where should it be located. We kind of went to three locations, the Jefferson site, Highline Park due to its location to some of our facilities, the location centrally kind of in our community, and then south of the I-94 interstate with some land that potentially was going to be available for us to build. So as we looked at those, we considered a lot. I think the advisory committee really focused on Jefferson and Highline. I think there was a lot of discussion about, although it shows future growth south of the interstate, a lot of us had pause and just there's nothing else out there. The kids that walk and bike to school and just being so far away from Hannah Field and the Hack and other, the U Sports Complex and other facilities that kids go to after school, we just felt like that could become an issue. We also didn't want the community to be transient, and just maybe to elaborate on that, if when it's out on the interstate and there's nothing else out there, when people come into town, they go to the school, there's no reason for them to come into town. Versus today, when you come to an activity, maybe you stop at Pizza Corner, maybe you stop at Pizza Ranch. If the school is out there, maybe that wouldn't happen. So just trying to understand what's maybe best in the community's interest, and we felt like that would bring ourselves more back into the community versus out on the I-94 corridor. Through maybe some roadblocks and some other things, so Highline Park was probably our 1A for the committee. Roadblocks with VCPR and some other things there kind of led us away from there, and really what landed us at the Jefferson site. So initially there, we looked at 6 through 12 with the admin building. But one of the ideas that got brought up was, can we make a larger impact by going 3 through 12? So we talked about kicking Josh and the admin offices out of the building, and can we replace that with 3 through 12 and find a new space for the admin office? So I felt like that idea really propelled us to where we're at today, where looking at a 3 through 12 that's connected to Jefferson gets all of our K through 12 schools on one campus that's within a couple blocks of all of our school facilities. So really, I think from the committee's standpoint, as we looked at those things, they really met all of our priorities in terms of consolidating the number of buildings. So being able to potentially bring Washington offline, bring the district office offline, being a phased approach where we get 3 through 12 new, but with the space there, potentially bringing K through 2 on board, somewhere down the line. Giving us the secure entrances, obviously one of them was the feasibility of adding on a Jefferson, which we accomplished, and then just giving ourselves the spaces to utilize the new footprint along with potentially some within Jefferson to improve our overall education adequacy. So that's kind of the journey that we went on, all the places we went. I definitely summarized quite a bit there, but I felt like we really tried to go through as many different options we could, you know, considered all ideas, and I think we landed at a place that the advisory committee feels really good about. So before I go any further into the actual proposal, is there any questions? So recommendation from the school facility advisory committee is to hold a referendum vote on June 10th, 2025. The scope would be to build a new 312 school connected to Jefferson Elementary, but not to allocate funds for the district office or outdoor recreational spaces. So by putting it where the drawing shows, we do recognize that there are going to be some green spaces, some practice facilities that aren't going to be there anymore. But the dollar total that we have here doesn't include replacing those recreational spaces. We're going to need to work with other parties like the BCPR and the city to try to figure out where we can potentially relocate some of those activities using those spaces. But for this proposal, we decided not to allocate funds. The cost would be up to $46 million. So, and then the intent, to consolidate the number of school district buildings, ensure the security of the schools, improve educational adequacy and accessibility, eliminate deferred maintenance, maximize operational efficiencies by selling the district office building and the Washington School Building, excluding Sam's Field, the demolishing portions of Valley City High School Building, including the 1919, 1940s, and 1950s. All of these recommendations were a unanimous vote from all 17 committee members, so we didn't have any of them that we didn't unanimously approve and vote on.
So.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah. Thank
you. So, just being on the committee as well, I want the public to understand the commitment that everybody in the group put together to go through this process.
Yeah.
And you said at the end our vote was unanimous. Can you tell me at the very beginning, was everybody in that group unanimous, so it just let us laser right into this recommendation, or was there representation from multiple sides of the community?
Yeah, I think when we first started, the location, we were mixed. The group as a whole was not sold on one location at all, and I would say where we landed might have been one that might have been like our third option. You know, we kind of looked at Highline Park, I think, came and the interstate. And so, yeah, to fill your point, I don't think we all instantly landed in the same spot. I think one thing we got away from really quickly was renovation. I think we all identified that maybe wouldn't be a good use of taxpayers' dollars, but also potentially wouldn't give us what our priorities were. I think it took a while before we landed on the site and even 3 through 12. And we went through most of this with the idea of 6 through 12. And it wasn't until recently that we thought that for potentially a little bit more, we could get 3 through 12 versus, starting at grade 6. And that just came from an idea from the thinking of how can we impact more people in the community. So, but yeah, no, that's a great point. Maybe in terms of the commitment, most of these meetings are 2 to 3 hours long, so we usually run from about 5 to 8. We've had other, get-togethers, sessions outside of those just with smaller groups, so I think the majority of us have spent quite a bit of time thinking through ideas and, maybe what we feel is best, and, I think we took the approach that no idea is really a bad idea, and, let's hear it, what everyone thinks, and kind of collaborate from there. So I think overall I have appreciated the experience, and I think that everybody can probably relate similarly that we definitely took an approach where let's consider all ideas, let's consider all locations, let's consider all thoughts, and kind of at the end we came together and decided that this was the right recommendation.
So from the school board, I thank the members that were able to donate their time and to be able to really get us honed into this point of recommendation. It's kind of a historical recommendation today.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Josh?
I just echo to Sherry as well. When we first reached out and asked, sent invitations to community members to serve on this committee, I think we said about 8 to 10 hours, and I think, as Josh said, we exceeded 15 hours, and so, again, just shows the commitment that was put into this and the time, the energy, the effort that was put in, and going on the tours and you know, just again committing from December all the way through March. And so again, just acknowledgement, recognition, appreciation. And to your point, Phil, is that I know for certain, and it was strategic, is that when we look for committee members to serve, that there wasn't a one opinion. There was a lot of opinions brought to the table, and you know, a chance to be able to look deeper into that as well.
Yeah, a lot of good conversations came out of those meetings for sure. So.
Yeah, I just want to comment that, you know, I do commend your group for the commitment. You pivoted, even though you guys presented a barrier. You thought you were down one path, right? You presented a barrier. You guys pivoted. You had some different ideas. You mentioned that you kind of had four or five concepts that you kind of stuck to. I just want to, you know, the board always tries to be fiscally responsible with the taxpayers' dollars. And so the fact that you guys also brought that into, you didn't acknowledge it as a top five of, yeah, you know, what you tried to focus on. But I think you guys also did take that into consideration of one of our priorities too. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks again. Yeah. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you very much.
So we have a recommendation from the School Facility Advisory Committee. I'd be looking for a motion to either on what you guys want to do with that.
Is this a consent motion or a roll call motion?
Roll call.
Okay. I'll make the motion to accept the committee's recommendations to the board as stated.
Ryan has a motion to accept as presented. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Sherry, if I could.
Yep.
I think just for clarification for those that are here, the accept language as part of the motion, I think otherwise could be said as receive the recommendation. I don't think the intent behind that is to do anything more other than accept what was presented as a board. Is that, okay. I just want to make sure I'm clarifying that you as a board are accepting the recommendation as presented, as was shared. I don't, yeah, want to put words in your mouth,
yep,
but.
Yep, that's what I intended for.
Next up on the agenda is resolutions, and I'll again explain that, but just for everybody here, the accept part of it does nothing more other than just acknowledge the work that was put into it and the fact that you're accepting what was presented to you.
Correct.
Thank you. So we have a motion. Second. Is there any further discussion?
I'd just like to once again thank the committee. You know, the board tasked you guys and with a job, and we did a very good job being on that committee. This isn't something that just was started in October. This is something that's been in the works for what, four or five years now?
Over 4 years.
And everything, if you remember back, we started out several years ago with a lot of ideas, a lot of grandiose ideas. We were almost at 90,000 for a possible high school. 90 million, sorry about that. And we have whittled that down and come into where we feel that our district can afford this $46 million building.
Any further discussion?
I would wait. Yeah. Yeah. Talk amongst yourselves.
Awkward silence. Hopefully you're surviving.
Good old North Dakota. This will be a time to talk about the weather.
pretty nice day.
The sun was shining. So wind was blowing a little bit. Got some nice rain. Casey's happy about that.
Did you get lunch out there, Casey?
Nothing to get wet. That's all
we're asking.
So again, we have a motion from Ryan, second by Phil. Is there any further discussion? Jackie, would you call the roll?
Yep. Phil Hatcher?
Aye.
Tommy Bergen?
Aye.
Ryan Mathias?
Aye.
Darren Anderson?
Aye.
Sherry Horsacher?
Aye. Thank you. The motion to receive has been passed. Mr. Johnson, that would move us to number three.
Okay, so number three is review, take action on resolutions. And so last Thursday after the committee had met, we went about the process of scheduling a special school board meeting for tonight. And a couple things with that is to receive the recommendation, accept the recommendation from the committee. But the other part of that is with that recommendation then is the consideration for you as a board. The next step to officially take action on those recommendations would be through a resolution. And so on Friday, we reached out to legal counsel. There's a bond legal counsel, Scott Wagner out of Bismarck, who we contacted for advisement. We also contacted PFN financial advisors to better understand the financials, the tax impacts of that. And so we met with them on Friday. Mr. Wagner provided us the resolutions outlined in Century Code. And so if we could, there's three separate resolutions. Initial resolution for general obligation school building bonds is one resolution. The second resolution is a resolution calling election to vote on approving the initial resolution. So it's calling for an election to vote. The third resolution is for the submission of a school construction loan application. In North Dakota, there's a Bank of North Dakota that offers low interest loans for schools that pass referendums and move forward with construction projects. And so that resolution would be specific to an application to pursue low interest loans in the event that a referendum, if you approve, would be successful. So I'd like to go through each of those. And so included in that, in information in the packet that's been to the handed out to the audience as well, is the draft language that we put in administratively. And so if we could go through that, again, I wanna emphasize this is draft language. As we're presenting this to you guys as part of your review and action, that'd be an opportunity for you to have the discussion. You can amend the language relative to that. Ultimately, the recommendation ministerially from us is that you would take action on each of those resolutions. I think the options available to you is to approve those, deny the resolution, or to table. I would suggest if you choose a table, if there's some more information or potentially seeking an advisement from legal counsel, those would be the three options. The timeline that the committee had recommended was June 10th. The way that Century Code spells out, there is a time frame that you have to follow, certain number of days prior to election, where you have to pass a resolution. And that's about 66 days. And so your timeline, you have about another week, if you so choose, to table that. So I just want to make sure you have that information in advance. So if you could, beginning with the initial resolution, be it resolved by the school board of Valley City Public School, district number 2, Barnes County, North Dakota, that it is necessary and expedient for the district to issue a general obligation school building bond, as hereafter described. The maximum amount per recommendation of bonds proposed, we filled in, was $46 million. The purpose for which the bonds are proposed to be issued is to provide funds, together with any other funds available, to establish. That language that I just read in number 2 is part of the Century Code. That's part of the language that is required to be in there. So from here to the last sentence is information that administratively, again, from the recommendation that we added in. It is to establish a new school that would be connected to Jefferson Elementary School, creating a combined K-12 school, ensuring student safety and security, modernizing education spaces, and providing ADA accessibility. This would include selling the district office, Washington Elementary School, demolishing the original 1919 building, and 1940-1950 additions of Valley City High School. thus eliminating the estimated cost, $30 million, of deferred maintenance in these buildings, maximizing operational efficiencies, including right-sizing the square footage in the new school building to our changing enrollments. And that's the extent of the language that we added in. So the remaining part of that language is, again, part of the template for this resolution, and that is to otherwise improve, renovate, remodel, construct, equip school property, and to make site improvements to school property. Number three, the assessed valuation of all taxable property in the school district defined by Century Code Section 21-03-01 is $502,946,402. Again, that is our assessed valuation per Barnes County. We received that information again through verification with our financial advisor that we met with on Friday as last finalized equalized for the year 2024. So that's the 2024 tax year. Number four, the amount, total amount of bond indebtedness of the school district, all issued for school building purposes, is $1.5 million. So that is our current existing indebtedness related relative to Hannah Field, the Restoring the Legacy project, and some buses that we took a loan out on last spring. So dated March 25, 2025. So board members, that's the recommendation. After receiving the recommendation from the committee and filling that information in, and again, some draft language for you guys to discuss, consider, ask questions. But I would recommend after you're done reviewing, discussing, taking action on that resolution.
Thank you. So we have a recommendation. You can either accept, deny, or table the initial resolution for general obligation school board bonds. With that would also be the ballot calling for an election, for the vote.
So if I could, Sherry, as well, yeah. The ballot doesn't need to be voted on by the board. That's something that administratively we work with legal counsel, yeah. Again, and that the final language is updated to put in there to reflect what would show up on the ballot. And there's a timeline that we follow. And so that doesn't have to be something that the board is going to approve, act on tonight.
This is what would go in there. What they vote on.
Or you vote, sure. On the resolution would,
correct.
Cross, sure. Over into, yep. The ballot.
I'll move to accept the initial resolution for general obligation school building bonds as presented.
Thank you, Ryan, for the motion. Is there a second?
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there a discussion? I guess I just want to say that, you know, one of the reasons I think we need to look at calling for the resolution is we've gathered information over 4 years. I feel like we've done not only due diligence, but maybe above due diligence. We're at a pivotal point with the educational and operational needs of our schools, faculty, the students we're trying to serve. I also feel that, you know, we have committees that have done a lot of work for us, but I'd like the whole community to have a voice, and that's one way to give them one. So, is there any other discussion? Any other discussion? Jackie, would you call the roll? Mm-hmm.
Darren Anderson?
Aye.
Tommy Bergen?
Aye.
Bill Hatcher?
Aye.
Ryan Mathias?
Aye.
Sherry Horsager?
Aye. Motion carried. Construction loan application.
If I could jump one up one to the resolution calling, yeah, for the election to vote. So resolution calling an election to vote on the question of approving an initial resolution for general obligation school building bonds. Be it resolved by the School Board of Valley City Public School District number 2, Barnes County, North Dakota, the school district as follows. This board has heretofore adopted an initial resolution proposing the issuance of a general obligation bonds of the school districts in the principal amount of not to exceed $46 million for the school building construction purposes to the electors. An election in the school district will be held on Tuesday, June 10th, 2025, for the purpose of submitting to the qualified voters of the school district the question of whether the initial resolution for general obligation school building bonds should be approved. Number two, pursuant to North Dakota Century Code Section 15.1-09-13, the board hereby designates one precinct for the election and one polling place. The polling place for said election shall be location Valley City Public School District Office, address 460 Central Avenue North, Valley City, North Dakota 58072. The polls will be open 9 a.m. Central Time, shall remain open continuously thereafter until 7 p.m. Central Time. Number four, the school board authorizes administration to employ individuals to act as election officers of said election. Said election officers shall count the votes cast at said election and submit signed election returns to the board for canvassing. Number five, the business manager hereby authorized and directed to cause typed or printed ballots to be prepared for use at said election, which ballots should be substantially the form set forth in Exhibit A here too. The business manager is hereby authorized and directed to give notice of said election by causing a notice thereof to be published once each week for at least 2 weeks in the official newspaper of the district, the first of such publications to be at least 15 days before the date of said election, and be posting the notice of election on the website of the school district prior to the date of said election. Flip over. Said notice shall state the date election, the polling place, polling hours, shall contain a complete copy of the initial bond resolution, a statement that the question to be submitted at said election shall be whether said initial resolution shall be approved, and the estimated additional millage and equivalent dollar amount of each $1,000 of taxable valuation for the first taxable year after all the bonds are issued. Number seven, election shall be held and conducted in accordance with the provisions of Chapter 15.1-09 of the North Dakota Century Code. After the votes are canvassed and within 24 hours after the polls are closed, the judges shall make their returns to the business manager of the school district, which shall meet thereafter pursuant to law for the purpose of canvassing the returns and declaring the results and making and taking such further action relative to the question voted on as may then be determined appropriate. Dated March 25th, 2025. I'd like to just make a note, if I could, board members, that the proposal is to hold this referendum on Tuesday, June 10th. That is also the same date as the school board election. By doing so, we save the taxpayers from additional costs of the district for a special election. And so I think, again, it's an opportunity to be able to be fiscally responsible to hold it on such date. So the recommendation is to approve the resolution calling election to vote as presented.
We have a recommendation calling the election. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Phil. We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Any further discussion? Jackie.
Tommy Bergen.
Aye.
Darren Anderson.
Aye.
Ryan Mathias.
Aye.
Phil Hatcher.
Aye.
Sherry Horsager.
Aye.
Motion carried. Now the resolution for the construction loan application.
All right, the resolution, before I just read through the resolution for the construction loan, just to give you a high level kind of overview of what that loan is. So for projects $75,000 or less, school districts can apply for up to $15 million. And so that would be low interest dollars on a bond. And so right now, the cost of $46 million does not take into account the low interest loan. So in the event that we submitted and were approved for this application, it would not be for the 25-26 school year. It would likely be for the second. And so as part of the conversation with the financial advisor, she suggested that we move forward, we submit the application, and get our name in the queue. There's several other projects in North Dakota right now that would be ahead of us, Dickinson being one of them, West Fargo being another, Grand Forks is included. And so again, the recommendation is to move forward in the event that if a referendum passes, that our application would be in there already with the Department of Public Instruction. So the resolution as reads, whereas the School Board of Valley City Public School District number 2, the District of Barnes County, North Dakota, has determined that it's necessary, expedient for the district to issue bonds to construct, model, improve, equip school buildings of project. And whereas the district adopted initial resolution on March 25th, 25 for the issuance of general obligation school building bonds in an amount not exceeding $46 million to finance the project. And whereas an election will be held on June 10th, 2025 to request that the qualified electors of the district approve the initial resolution and the issuance of general obligation building bonds. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the district shall submit an application to the Department of Public Instruction for a state school construction loan pursuant to Chapter 15.1-36, North Dakota Century Code, to be paid from the tax levies authorized by Section 21-03-15, North Dakota Century Code, as necessary for such payment. The superintendent is directed to submit an application, take action as may be necessary in connection with obtaining approval for a state school construction loan, dated March 25th, 2025.
Seeking approval to submit the school construction loan application. Is there a motion?
So moved.
You have a motion to accept it. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and second. Is there any discussion? Any discussion?
I have one question. I'm sure I know the answer to this. This doesn't obligate us if for some reason the referendum fails. There's no obligation whatsoever to take any money. It's just the application.
Yeah, actually it's contingent upon a successful referendum. And so, but it does allow us to get our name in the queue because there's a high competitiveness across the state of North Dakota with this, with these loans.
And there's $0 being spent to do this.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah, it's a no fee application.
Correct.
Is there any further discussion?
President Horsacker, just to put in context, and it's very similar to a home loan. That you take out and the interest you pay over that. I think we're all sometimes really surprised at how much interest you actually pay. And so why this is advantageous to us on $46 million, the interest is about $3.5 million. And so anything we can do to drive that interest down by a low interest loan, we're going to continue to push and advocate for in the event that this referendum would be successful. That can, again, go back and save taxpayer dollars at the end, decreasing the overall cost of the project.
We have a motion and a second on the table for approval for loan submission. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, Jackie, will you call the roll?
Yep. Ryan Mathias.
Aye.
Tommy Bergen.
Aye.
Darren Anderson.
Aye.
Bill Hatcher.
Aye.
Sherry Horsager.
Aye. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda.
All right, the next item on the agenda is review, take action on North Dakota DPI school construction application. So as part of the process in planning for a referendum, school districts are required to submit applications informing the state of North Dakota Department of Public Instruction of the intent of proposed projects. And so, board members, we have three documents presented to you, the first being a school construction approval request. And again, that highlights the estimated cost of the project, what the name of the project is, the taxable value includes our enrollment, funds available, and explanation of what the project is. So my recommendation, board members, is your approval to allow us the ability to be able to submit this request, which is part of the requirement that the North Dakota Department of Public Instruction puts in place for school districts that are pursuing referendums or projects such as this. Anything exceeding $150,000. In addition to that, I should add as well, there's a school facility plan, and so that is an accompanying document that will be public, will be part of a website, again, to make sure that everybody has access to that information along with everything else that we've discussed here tonight. And likewise, that's just information as it relates relative to this project and some enrollment information, cost information relative to that. So that recommendation is approve the school construction approval request along with the school facility plan. I think those can be approved together.
So we have a recommendation for the school construction approval request. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Ryan. Ryan moved to accept as presented. Is there a second? We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? Hearing none, Jackie, will you call the roll?
Bill Hatcher.
Aye.
Brian Mathias.
Aye.
Tommy Bergen.
Aye.
Darren Anderson.
Aye.
Sherry Horsager.
Aye. Motion carried. Next item on the agenda, school construction loan application.
So this is the actual loan. You passed a resolution giving us the authority to submit the application. Now you're approving the actual application. And so, board members, you have a document that, again, highlights the estimated cost, the debt indebtedness, the assessed value, taxable valuation. And so that information is provided for you as well. So the recommendation is approve that document. Thus completing the resolutions as well as the applications that would be submitted to the Department of Public Instruction.
Thank you. We have a recommendation. Seeking a motion.
So moved.
We have a motion to accept it. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Is there any further discussion? Any further discussion? Hearing none.
Tommy Bergen.
Aye.
Bill Hatcher.
Aye.
Darren Anderson.
Aye.
Ryan Mathias.
Aye.
Sherry Horsager.
Aye. Thank you, Mr. Mr. Johnson, if you'd introduce our next presenter.
President Horsager, if I could, this is not surprising to committee members or others as well, but if I could just take a 2 or 3 minutes, now that you've approved the resolutions, you've taken action on the applications, before we introduce Kyle Kabami with ICON, I think just a few thoughts and comments and ask board members as well to interject before we turn it over to Kyle and kind of talk about next steps and what ICON's planning for us between now and the referendum on June 10th. So it was mentioned earlier that this process didn't begin 6-9 months ago. This process began back in the fall of 2021. It began in this room at this table with a conversation that started when we had $3 million or $3.8 million of COVID. And the question was asked of you board members is, what do you want to do with these dollars? And the suggestion that was made from your superintendent at the time was, well, we could address some of the maintenance things in that. And you challenged our administration to think bigger and broader relative to that. So the charge was, in order to be able to think bigger, broader, to understand what our needs were, we had to do a capital maintenance study. And so in October of 2021, we hired consultants to come in and look through every nook and cranny as part of our school facilities. At that time, including the Career and Tech Center. The result and the return on that was that there was an estimate of about $26 million of deferred maintenance that the district would need to address over the next 10 years. As part of that, the often phrase that's used in our community is, you shot out of a cannon like the rocket. We hit the ground running fast because we believe that the ESSER dollars had an expiration date. If you remember back as well, we were also at the time considering career and tech, and there were some grant funds also. So we felt like we had to expedite that. We held two public meetings over at the theater that fall to talk a little bit about these proposals and ideas, but primarily it was to get feedback from the community. A month later, we sent a survey out. That survey went out to every residence in the community, in the school district of Valley City. We received 27% response, which was an excellent response. So over 1,037 total responses relative to that. there were some specific questions. At that time, if you remember back again, we weren't certain or we weren't clear on what option we were actually considering, because at that time the prices were fluctuating quite rapidly. But within that, the feedback that we had, I just want to address and speak to this. And again, I'm going to highlight that this information will be available for the public. But at that point, would you support the Valley City Public School District exploring a bond referendum to address the issues described? 89% of staff said yes. All residents, 58% of all residents that responded to that survey, which is over 1,000, said yes, they would support a bond referendum. That was a first part of that. I think that's just really critical. Within that, we asked specific questions about right-sizing option. We asked about a 412 option. We asked about other school options as well. And so I just want to emphasize that all the way back in November of 2021, the response from all residents, over 1,000, was they would support the school district asking for a bond. Why didn't you? We didn't at that time because the market, because the cost of construction, because of inflation was all over across the board. But the other reason you didn't is because the cost of a school at that time was believed to exceed the debt limit. And so that wasn't an option. The only option at that time was renovation, which in the spring of the year, then you held two more public meetings. That was the time at which you explored the building fund to be able to consider what the renovation option would look like. And so from that, then we moved into the next year. We looked at the renovation options really in extensive detail, looked at the cost of that. It was beyond just deferred maintenance, it was just renovation as well, addressing some of the security things in addition to the mechanical systems, the roofing and other things as well. At the end of 2023, there were six facility advisory groups. So in addition to the 17-member committee, which we're now referring to as version 2.0, but the initial committee, there were six of them. We had seniors represented, we have staff represented, we had parents represented, we have a community, rural community represented. And I just would like to highlight the feedback that came from those meetings. We again asked the question of what was in the best interest for the school district, from renovation to complete replacement. If you remember back, that was the time that Board Member Anderson presented some very interesting financial information as related relative to do nothing. Do nothing actually costs more significant because the deferred maintenance continues to increase over the years. The end result of that, there was 42 responses. We engaged with 75 to 80 community members, part of those six groups. There was 42 responses relative to the survey. We laid out nine options, from do nothing, only use our ESSER funds $3 million, do a remodeling project at $13 million, do a capital maintenance plan at $37 million, do a capital maintenance plan plus remodeling project at $45 million, build a new K-6 elementary school at $40 million, build a new 712 junior senior high school at $65 million, and option eight, a new 412 elementary junior senior high school at $76 million, and a new K-12 elementary junior senior high school at $98 million. There were three people that thought we should do a capital maintenance remodeling project out of 42. One person thought we should do an elementary school for $40 million. 18 people thought we should do a new 712 junior senior high school and figure out a way for $65 million, even though it exceeded our debt limit. There was seven people that thought we should do this new 412 elementary junior senior high school for $76 million, and a new K-12 elementary junior senior high school for $98 million. That was 13 out of 42. And so from that recommendation came back to you guys, the board, and you said, but our debt limit is $40 million. And if the consensus of this committee at that time was not to renovate, only 3 out of 42, then what other options do we have? At that point, we created the North Dakota School Construction Coalition. We led that effort. It's been occurring over the last 4 years. We presented four times to legislative committees. We were very successful in that, had responsiveness from legislators. They proposed multiple bills, and we've been tracking that. But we weren't going to rely just simply upon that legislative process. So when we started the coalition in the summer of 2023, one of the individuals, legislators that we began working with, had previously worked with ICON Architects. And so ICON started working with the coalition. We saw what they were doing and what they were bringing to the table, and we thought this is a different perspective and a different philosophy as far as the economical, fiscal approach to building schools. And so it was last spring that we started having conversations with ICON. Again, they came to the table with you guys in August when you came and said, hey, let's put forth this second committee that can study, can take another look at this with another advisement and come back to the table with you. I want to just emphasize as well that the philosophy, and Kyle may do this as well, but the philosophy of ICON is that they don't charge the school district a dime. So you guys and all the work, the five meetings have been going on, the 15 plus hours and all the other meetings in between, we haven't been charged a cent from ICON and won't until a referendum would pass. I'd like to say then they gave us a 50% discount, but that wouldn't be truthful. So it'd really be putting Kyle in a bad spot. So we didn't have that conversation. So we had that conversation. We started working, and again, that led up to this current facility advisory committee. And again, the good work that they put in and where we're at today, where they come back and provide recommendations. So already today, I get information, text messages, calls, emails. Facebook's already saying this. And again, I just want to call it out. And that is the people through the last 3.5, almost 4 years have asked for, they've asked for an opportunity to be able to voice, to be able to have input as relates relative to the future of the school facilities. They said it when the community survey was put out. They said it in the Facility Advisory Committee version 1.0. They said it again in Facility Committee version 2.0. And so again, when we hear controversial things that are maybe coming up in our community, things maybe that have transpired over the last month or so, it keeps coming back to is we want a chance to be able to vote. We want to have a chance to be able to voice our opinion. And I think today your action by receiving the recommendation and by taking the resolutions and by bringing to the citizens of the school district, you are giving them the opportunity to be able to have their voice heard, and they can do so by voting on June 10th. That wasn't 2 or 3 minutes. I apologize.
Can I make it?
Well, now you're
going to
be attached.
Can I make it?
Yeah.
Just following Josh's comments, you know, when we had all those options 3 years ago and we're looking at the dollar amounts, they were gross, and to say the least. And so when ICON came to the table and proposed their method of going through this, I wrote down the numbers. 3 years ago, it was $76 million for 4 through 12, and now we're looking at $46 million. And I mean, that's a huge savings. Just streamline the whole process. And I think, you know, we were tasked as a board also to do things as economically efficient as possible or financially efficient as possible. And the work that the committee did, I think, gets us to the place where I think we have a really viable plan that the voters in the district can vote on, and that I even myself just feel comfortable presenting. The $76 million and the 90 and 100, that was just a tough pill to swallow, and we couldn't do it anyway because of the bond limits. But I mean, from my own personal opinion, I think this is a really good plan that the committee and the district are is putting forth for the voters, and they have the ultimate choice, and it has to be supermajority. So I'm comfortable where we're at as a district and letting the chips fall where they go. So thanks.
All right, with that, Mr. Kavami, welcome Kyle Cosman again. Working with the school district since last spring, and has been leading our facility advisory committee since December. And so we will turn it over to him, and I hope that as part of his presentation to you, to everyone that's here today as well, he can address and speak to their approach and why that's different and why we've seen costs different than what we saw 2 years ago, even though we know that cost of construction has increased.
Yes. With that. Yeah. Thank you, Board President, School Board, community members, committee members. We appreciate so much just having this opportunity to share. I have just a few slides to kind of go over and share some information. You know, as kind of our first formal post calling for a referendum community engagement time, I'm going to try to use this opportunity to get as much information out to the folks as possible. To echo just the effort that the committee members made, you can see we've been meeting for months. You know, we've had this laid out since the very first meeting that we knew we were going to have a few meetings. We would potentially have an opportunity to call for a vote, and we kind of saw that align, and you can see at the top of that timeline, that's where we are here today. I would like to add to, you know, meeting number four, we were 2 hours and 40 minutes into the meeting, and we thought we were done. Everybody got up, and then we had one more item on the agenda, and everybody sat back down. So to think that we spent 15 hours in this room practically was amazing and impressive, and that wasn't their day jobs. This is my day job, and so I expect to do that. But to have a group that, you know, on our tours, we had contentious conversations. We had disagreements. We had, I would say, fundamental issues with just moving forward with one plan as a group. But as we went through the facts and understood what was coming at us, understanding when you have almost $30 million of cost just to maintain the building and keep the doors open, not making your high school a better high school, addressing code compliance without making sure that your classrooms actually function. You know, for them, it was a very obvious thing, and we really appreciated the willingness to go on those tours and see the different pieces. You know, as we came out of that first meeting, you know, as Josh had stated, you know, we had some very specific North Stars that we didn't want to let go of. And so as we moved through, we had almost 20 different options when you counted, you know, different ways of positioning and move it to this side and move it over here. We had we had probably three pathways at any one moment, but many different versions that we saw throughout our meetings. But always understanding that these were the goals, you know, I think that the main objective being, how do we provide an adequate space that can be consolidated and efficient and secure and something where you have some equity and, you know, and adequacy throughout all the district facilities. So really appreciate that. Really appreciate the effort that was in there. So what I'm going to show now is the final option. And this was kind of our aha moment that we had towards the end of our meetings, where we all unanimously agreed that Josh doesn't need an office and that we could cut that square footage. And that changed things dramatically when we thought about, well, we are going to utilize some space, you know, some space by the athletic facilities. We are going to find some efficiencies, things like cafeterias, when you join the buildings together, things like kitchens, things like, you know, where FIED is going to be and where title classrooms and special education. There were so many advantages to connecting to Jefferson that we are still really excited to explore, you know, all the different opportunities to find efficiencies. But by laying this on our site, what's really great is that not only do we get to connect to Jefferson and create all these great interactions and economize, you know, or create economies of scale on so many different spaces, we also get to pivot. And when we think about, you know, high school kids driving in, you know, having them come in on Central and not having all the traffic go down 12th or 5th, and having people coming at the school from both sides and allowing kids to have access. And I was told that there's a parking issue downtown. I don't know if that's a real thing. But allowing us to utilize all the parking at Hannah Field and have students in it, you know, and have some great entrances, you know, understanding that we have elementary and staff will probably even be split up to be more efficient on this site, and that you just get to utilize all this infrastructure, all this work that you guys have put into Hannah Field is, and the parking and everything that's there can now be utilized that much more. And it's just, again, it's the way that we look at things is, how can we save money? Josh spoke to it that we haven't been paid, and that's on purpose, and that's not a special Josh Johnson deal. That's how we work with every district in North Dakota. And the reason we do that is that we aren't here to please the administration or even the board. I'm sorry, we really don't care what you guys want. What we care is the people sitting behind me right here. They're the only ones that can pay us. So all we have to do is earn their trust, and then we're successful. And we've scaled that to the point now where we go into a lot of communities that haven't passed votes in decades or had two or three back-to-back failed ones, and we come with our perspective of we are trying to drive the cost down more than I would say even the committee, because for us, we understand that every dollar spent is coming out of someone's pocket and it's not to be taken lightly. So as you see this and you hear the numbers, Darren had a really good perspective of how can you go years in the future and yet be drastically less? Well, we're just, our philosophy is just how can we be efficient with the way that we lay things out, and how can we make smart decisions throughout this entire process so that we can make little decisions like giving Josh an office that might not seem like that much, but when you do that over 6 months of design, that's the difference between millions and millions of dollars. So the classroom sizes in here are adequate. They're actually larger than some of the classrooms that we're building in Grand Forks, for example. The communal space, the common space, is multifunction. It's space that can be for small groups as well as for cafeteria, as well as for pre-function, before events and different things. So how can we get as much going on as possible? And then if you see here, as we zoomed in, the light blue is our classroom space, and that's double stacked. Again, that's all about efficiency. It's an efficient floor plan. You create all the classrooms right on top of each other, and then you build off from that. And looking again at your athletics, looking again at your cafeteria space and common space, and getting us access. You know, if you look at these parking spots for students, you know, they do have to walk, a little bit. But I would argue that, you know, I have been here during the school day, and I have seen just how far kids park. And it's blocks. I mean, I would like to think that there might be a parking stall dedicated to ICON by the students, maybe, because all the students will now have a much, much closer parking spot and not have to worry about parking in front of someone's home. And you just think about the chaos with snow removal and all these different things. Just get the kids off the street, get that traffic off the street, and we will be able to do that. And again, utilizing space that you already have. You know, this is the only space that would be two-story. You can see these white spaces. These are higher volume spaces, like your common area and like your gymnasium. We are trying to limit our roof lines, right? You know, you guys have an amazing school across the street when it comes to roof lines. You have how many?
18
roof lines. I mean, that's something to be proud of. I think that might be the most. So this one, I think our goal would maybe be 4, right? Or actually maybe 3. So something that's much more reasonable. You're not going to see, giant, huge boxes made of glass. That's not our thing. We do think that you should have natural light. We do support having a secure, highly visible entry. But we also say that you save money where you can, in the spaces that you can, so that you have a great learning experience and a great space that's supported by the community versus something that could be perceived as over the top. We do have lots of beautiful school buildings, and even an economical design doesn't necessarily mean that you guys won't think it's beautiful. But it's just the smart decisions that we're going to make together that will get us. So what does that mean? You know, if you think about the tax impact, you know, we use $100,000 as just our standard value for ag land, commercial land, and residential land. And you can see, you know, it's $336 per 100,000 on residential, and that's as the laws stand now. There's something else that we'll talk about just here briefly, but what's great is that this is a calculator. This is not something that ICON created. This is not something that the district created. This is created by the independent bond advisors. All the formulas are all open for everyone to see, but this will be up on the website, and we'd strongly encourage that anyone that wants to know their tax impact to get their tax statement out and look at their true and full value. And we just looked at the ballot language, or talked about the ballot language, and true and full value isn't on that ballot language. And it's so confusing, and unfortunately, Century Code doesn't give us a chance to have anything other than the way that they prescribe it. So there's true and full value, and then there's assessed value, which is half of that, and then there's taxable value, which is then 9 or 10% of that, depending on if it's resident. It's kind of a little bonkers. So if someone is doing the math on the ballot and they're like, okay, if it's this amount per 1,000 and they're getting an amount that's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a year, chances are you might have those numbers flipped, and you might actually have it set to 20 times more than what you are. So we just want to demystify that, and this is a big part of what we preach is just facts. We want as many people as possible to have the facts and to vote. We are, you know, as a firm, we welcome yes votes and no votes equally. All we ask is they all be informed votes. And so as we go through this, here's the facts. Do the math yourself. There's no question. You don't have to rely upon anyone's hearsay, anyone's rumor. Go and figure it out for yourself. If you ever have a question, I believe that the district would be more than happy to plug your numbers or help you look up. I don't want to volunteer Jackie, but you could probably call her and say, here's my tax statement, what am I going to pay? And all that she or anyone would do is just use the calculator that's been provided. It's not, there's no secrets to it. It's all prescribed by Century Code, and the formulas are even, when you click in the Excel online, you can see the formula. Very important to us that you all get the facts and get that information. The one piece that we would say that is a little different is that, you know, through some of the efforts of the coalition and through some of the efforts of, I would just say, the citizens across the state, there appears to be a high chance of some property tax reform that will take place. And I think that the model proposed by the governor, which currently seems to have the most steam, would see that that there now be a $1,450 tax credit on your primary residence. And that does have a big impact on folks that maybe they're only paying $1,400. You know, there's a great opportunity to see some savings there and some opportunity to look at, you know, how the district can, again, be responsible with their dollars and provide the best value for the district. The thing I would like to emphasize is that this project would take almost $30 million of deferred maintenance offline. So the district, not through ICON's decisions or the district's decisions, through codes and laws, will have to spend that money. We'll have to keep things up. If someone walks in the front door and can't access something, the district will have to make that space accessible. That is not an option. So that's money that has to be spent. So you can spend the $30 million to make your space accessible and open, but not better, or you can spend potentially the $46 million to take that space offline or sell the space and have newer space that is adequate, accessible, and addresses the educational needs of modern classrooms. Things like special education, that was not a thing in 1919. Title, that was not a thing in 1919. The things that happen right now, you know, thinking about physical therapy and speech therapy and all these different things that happen in schools that are required, those were not things when these schools were built. So it's not their fault that 1919 didn't know 100 years later what we would need, but we're at a point of reckoning where you have to make a decision. And this is what's great is that the public gets to weigh in on that. The board does not decide this. The school administration doesn't. The consultants don't. It is the public that gets to make this decision. And so again, get these facts, but there is some really, really positive news coming from the state that we are excited for. And I don't know if anyone comments there. So what does that timeline look like? You know, here's the timeline that we set up at the beginning of the month. You know, we came and the school board had a retreat, which was a nice, again, it was a public open working session. We talked through for a couple hours about all the work that's been done, the different options, what this could work, if that could work, why didn't you consider this? You know, why did we pivot away from renovation? You know, the items I just talked about were what was discussed. And then ultimately, going back and getting the recommendation from the committee and getting that committee to be here tonight and to present that. And then understanding that you guys have taken that next step to turn this over to the voters. And our goal now is to just get the facts out. We need to have as many opportunities to get people to see what the school is dealing with. If you walk through that school and with your own two eyes and see what they have, specifically the 1919 and 40s and 50s portions of the high school, and if you think that's okay, then that's your prerogative and you get that right to vote no. But all we want is for everyone to experience the schools, understand the facts, and then make those decisions. And so we will be encouraging through public meetings, through sharing on social media, through working with the great media outlets that you have in the community to just get the facts out. you know, I don't think this will make anyone happy, but I will welcome a no vote that can tell me why and stand up and say this, and that's great. We're happy for that, and that's everyone's right. But we just want to dispel the rumors and make sure that everyone gets all the information they need. So the school website will have FAQs. It will have fast facts. We like and encourage the school district to receive all the rumors and try to answer them. So you hear something, please, we're going to have a thing to submit that. Let's try to answer the question. If the rumor has validity and is something we need to address, we need to know. You know, I think it's very important that, I don't think anyone sitting up here is so smart that we don't welcome questions and welcome new perspectives. And so for us, it's very, very important to get all of that out. We will encourage events. I think that the school board, I would encourage you guys to open the school too. Is there an organization that wants to meet in the cafeteria and then take a quick tour, or wants to meet somewhere else? Just again, to give people the opportunity to see the school. The thing that we are concerned about, you know, as the public input, your athletic spaces are amazing. And if you only see your athletic spaces, you might not have the whole picture. And so that's where, as much as we can, we really want people to just get into the school and see it for themselves, get the facts, make informed decisions. So you can see there's many different meetings. You will see that a lot of those meetings are about the last month before the vote. It's very important to us that we take time to craft all the information that we share, and we vet it, and that it is factual. By law, we aren't allowed to support or not support a project. All we can do is share the facts. And I'd say, too, if there's any entities out there in the groups that want information, we don't care if you're supportive, not supportive, media, not media, private citizen, group, nonprofit. If you want information about our process or what we're proposing, we are an open book, and we will share with anyone. And I would say, just with that, maybe stand for any questions. Or
just to reiterate, I think where we're at now, the resolution is passed and date is set. And so we have about 77, 78 days between now and June 10th. And the commitment administratively on behalf of the committee, on behalf of the district, is to make sure that factual information is put out there. And so the website, making sure the information is there, it's a source that people can go to. But to Kyle's point is to find those dates, put that information out there for the public meetings. We're looking at some question answering sessions that can be scheduled, can be set up. The biggest thing, just to reiterate of this, is to make sure that our community has that information. And so, you know, those that go out and jump into the social media worlds and again, speculate over things, I just encourage everybody to pick up the phone, stop by the district office. We'd love to have a conversation and meet with anybody, anywhere, anytime, to let them know about the information that we put together.
And the best superintendents that we've worked with tend to volunteer to just go to any meeting. Could be a book club, could be a flag appreciation meeting, and talk about the project. So I'd encourage anyone that if they want more information, again, if you have a great superintendent, he would probably show up to any of those meetings.
And then the committee's going to meet next week still. Right?
And the committee is off the hook. And the committee, we are going to ask them to meet one more time, again, to just make sure we have all the avenues for communication correct. So if you see everyone in the audience, I think, has that list of names. If there's someone you know and you have questions, I'd say, please, if you want to reach out to them first, they're a great first contact.
Can I just make one point? Now, you talked about the one area being gym space and that stuff. The resolution that we passed and everything stated, or the recommendation, that we are not abandoning the hack, okay? Because that's going to be one of the first rumors out there. That will still be our competition area. Mm-hmm. That building, there is nothing wrong with it. We are using the hack in those facilities. So that's going to be, I just want to make sure that rumor is done. We will still maintain the hack building and some other spaces there.
This is for Phi Ed and practice primarily. That's...
Yep.
Thank you.
And this space would actually be probably that pre-K through 12 Fayette space, because we would be able to repurpose the Jefferson School of Fayette potentially.
It's a good plan.
Can you comment about the square footage of where we are now to right sizing?
Yep, absolutely. District? Yep. So I think we're at 160,000 square feet at the high school, and then Washington is
35,000.
So we're nearly 200,000 square feet going down to 101,000 square feet, and you'll see it's. You know, we try to not make too many corridors. We try to make sure that everything is very condensed. This isn't a square, right? It's still going to be very functional space. But at the end of the day, we're not building a competition gym. We're not building in, you know, seating for 2,000. We're not concerned about, you know, what's the, you know, I would say we're not building this for, you know, a double the size, you know, population that you have right now. We're building the right size space. We're building appropriate size classrooms that they will be smaller than some of the classrooms now. But if you go into the high school, go into the third floor, that science, you know, the science room, you know, they are classrooms that are shaped kind of weird, but gigantic. And again, that was 1919 decisions. I don't know that anyone in here was responsible for that, but we're dealing with it now. And what we can do is get appropriate size classrooms that are much more efficient and almost half the square footage.
I'd like to know just with that as well that the 101,000 that's been shown here as well, the elementary classrooms are actually bigger than the current classrooms at Washington. And then also we've put four classrooms per grade level, even though K1, 2, 3 right now is only three grade levels or three sections per grade level. And so the question was asked about if this school passes, if it's constructed, is there enough room to build for the future? And the answer is yes. It's built around 80 to 90 students, yep. I think, per grade, which is our current high school enrollment. But our elementary enrollment is more so in that 50 to 60 range. So there's ample room. There's enough for one more section per elementary grade in that elementary. And so right sizing not only addresses and decreases where we're at across the district, consolidating, creating efficiencies, but it also allows for that expansion, that growth as well. I really like what Kyle said earlier when he emphasized the cafeteria area to be able to allow students from Jefferson, the existing building, to be able to utilize some of those spaces in the new building. But I also want to add to that is that elementary students in the new building will also move over title services, special education programs. They'll also Phi Ed. They'll also go over into Jefferson Elementary. And I think that's just the plan put together, connected, that really does work and creates a lot of efficiencies.
Huge.
And better learning opportunities.
Yes.
We want to be able to put together what those cost savings and efficiencies are so we can present those in those public meetings. Things such as the maintenance costs, but staffing, as well as utility energy costs as well, and to be able to share. We shared that information back in 2021, but we want to update that information to be able to send that back and share that in the public meetings.
And one of the things I'd highlight is, while Jefferson has a unique shape, its maintenance is the lowest maintenance, and operationally it's the smoothest running facility that the school has. So while some people might see the pods and say, why are you doing that? It's actually, if you remove yourself from the shape, which can work, it is a very well-maintained, well-run, low-maintenance facility that just, it does make sense that would stay for a while because it is running well.
Says the architect from the architect in the 60s that designed pods.
We are the remover of pods, and these are pods that we would say don't remove.
Okay, all right.
I also wasn't around in the 60s.
Board members, our plan with the information would be able to have a website up and available, or a web page off of our website. that would be accessible as soon as next Monday. And so we would like to tomorrow send that information out with our local media as well, so that information could be shared to make sure that anybody else who is not at this meeting here today knows where they can go to get information. The concept, the design, the resolutions, the recommendation, the capital maintenance plan, the surveys, the everything else that we want to try to upload, the question and answering. So we want to put that onto the website and so make sure that, again, that information's out there.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.